music, radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are we doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till it's
too late. The Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
Are we coming in? Are we coming across? Yes, we are. All right. Well, welcome, folks. Rick Adams Uncensored here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Yes, well, today, you know, is, today's a very interesting day, a very special day. It is April, I believe, the 13th, if I am not mistaken. And we're going to have Professor James Fetzer back today. It's been a while, and we have been preoccupied with a number of special guests, as you know, a number of great guests and great topics. And so we're only here for 2 hours a week. And that being the case, of course, we try to give you quite a variety of topics and subject matter to listen to digest, hopefully, and be able to get some nutrients from. And that's the whole point of me doing this program, because as we know, time is very short. And I'm coming to you by telephone today because of some mishap or some problem that we have, but in any event, I'm here, and Mike says it's coming across loud and clear. Well, I want to begin in the book of Matthew, because I am in the Gospel of Matthew now. I'm in the New Covenant, as I think I told you last week, and I am on chapter 7. But in chapter 7, Jesus himself is speaking, and he's making it quite clear as to warning his disciples and those who would hear his message, those that could hear his words and understand them. And he said in chapter 7, verse 15, to beware of false prophets. And, there are many today who claim to be false soothsayers, and they may be talk show hosts, they may be leaders of the alt media, they may be this or that, but they are coming, and they are here. And he says, in the case of the prophets who claim to be prophets of God, prophets of light, that they come to you in sheep's clothing. He said, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Boy, if that isn't quite a broadside, I don't know what is. He said, ye shall know them how? By their fruits. Well, and he makes that quite clear in verse 16, where he says, do men gather grapes or thistles? Do they gather figs or thistles or thorns? Well, do they know? Good men do not gather them. They gather the juice of the truth, the fig tree, the good fig tree, not the bad, the good grapes to make the wine. And in verse 17, he says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And let me tell you, folks, we are in that time now. We are in that time when there are so many masters of disguise. There are so many prophets, soothsayers, people who claim to be something which they are not, gatekeepers, can I use that term? and they are bringing forth a message that contains a lot of truth, quite a bit, and yet they contain a lie in the very end. That's something you must always be aware of, is that in every truism, in every truth that is espoused by men, there is always a chance that you will be getting a heaping portion, if you will, of poison, of arsenic, of cyanide. And that's always the catch in the end, isn't it? You can always be fooled and deceived if you're not on guard. And that's what Jesus was telling us. So let's be on guard today. There are many out there who have led our people astray. They have led them into captivity of the mind. And we're here to sort it all out and get right into reality time, folks, with nothing but the truth, the whole truth, so help me God. All right, I'm going to bring up now Professor James Fetzer, and he is with us right now as we speak. It's been a while. Hello, Jim.
Oh, Rick, it's great to be back with you again. And just to develop your themes, we've had the re-election of Bibi Netanyahu by a fairly wide margin with a Gentile-hating alliance. I think America is going to have to come to grips with the apartheid state character of the new Israel, which is a Jews-only state where the Palestinians are now second-class citizens. They had to make a decision between democracy and Judaism, and they chose Judaism over democracy. Rick, where does that leave the United States in relation to a state that ought to be universally condemned, just as South Africa in the past was universally condemned for being an apartheid? White superiority over black today, and something like the opposite in South Africa, not a good situation there either. But today, I think Americans have to come to grips with the fact that this country we've been supporting so long and so studiously, I think completely, totally mistakenly, is becoming more and more openly a repressive state, an undemocratic, an authoritarian, a form of theocracy, Rick. I find it profoundly troubling.
Well, and you should. And we have a president today who's doing exactly what Truman did in 1948, just in the election year, in order to win over the Electoral College at that time. He extended a recognition of the state of Israel, and that was the beginning of what is called the bad or evil fig tree planted in Jerusalem in 1948, in the words of Jesus, the 70th year generation. So we have Mr. Trump doing what he is expected to do of the Adelsons and the Netanyahus, the whole host of mafia people, a Cosa Nostra, that demand that he give on his promises. And what have we gotten in return for those promises? What have we, the American people, received for him being subservient to the state of Israel and the lobby and the mafia which it represents? Nothing but trouble, nothing but terror, nothing but more fake terror, real terror. It looks like increasing wars, aggression, where they're now planning another Syria-type adventure in Lebanon. And we see that all of these adventurous activities that you're referring to are being planned right now, just as we've seen 9/11. Planned for, way before it was actually carried out. So it does not look very promising for people on a secular plane. Just from a human point of view, there is no logic to it. There is no sense to it. It does not make sense to reward a group of people who happen to hold the power, the wealth, and the control over politicians, as we've seen with Representative Omar in Minnesota. And a group of others come along and say, this is what we demand. Even within the state of Israel itself, we have, and here in America, we have divided Judaism. We have Jews who are now liberal Jews versus conservative Jews, and it's right versus left, left versus right. So what is happening now is a great divide. There's an amazing conflict over which direction this little state of terror will actually evolve into. And of course, I mean, if I read scripture, I know what it'll evolve into. We're seeing already
planning of the Temple Mount movement growing now, and the seizing of that land so that a temple will go up, human sacrifices perhaps, but animal sacrifices undoubtedly being executed at some point even now as we speak. So I don't mean to be long-winded, Jim, but I'm simply amplifying on what you just said as another example of how America is becoming the most ostracized of all the nations in the world, and it should be a beacon of light rather than all of those evils. Okay,
I couldn't agree more, Rick, and here we have Israel launching overnight airstrikes on Syria just after Netanyahu's reelection. We've had him declare the Republic, Trump has declared the Revolutionary Guards of Iran a terror group, and Netanyahu was boasting that that had happened because he asked Trump to do it. Trump has given Golan Heights to Israel, which is absurd and violation of international law. And as I know you're aware, Rick, it turns out there's a vast natural oil reserve beneath the Golan that the Israelis, needless to say, want for themselves. And of course, previously, Trump had moved Jerusalem, the American embassy to Jerusalem, and declared it to be the capital of Israel, all reversing 50 years of U.S. foreign policy. And for what? Get this, Rick, we know today because of the Mueller report, and the latest I have is that Mueller actually knew on day one that there was no Russian involvement. We know he completed his investigation by the first year and kept it just hanging for another so it would allow the Democrats to capitalize on it for the midterms. And there was nothing to it, but while we know that Trump was not a stooge of Putin, he wasn't a Russian puppet, it looks like he is a stooge of Netanyahu, that he is an Israeli puppet, and I find that even more objectionable. Russia at least stands for something. Israel does not.
Well, and you're right. The biggest scandal of all has not been any Russian governmental interference, obviously on the part of the central government itself, but there has been an overwhelming Zionist control and hacking, if you will, presence from the voting machine right down to the precinct. I mean, what could be more corrupt? What could be more of an evil influence over America by someone who claims to be a friendly nation, when in fact that nation under Netanyahu was responsible in carrying out the attacks of 9/11. With friends like that, we certainly don't need enemies. And that is most obvious to those that have brains or basic intelligence. But unfortunately, they do not. Most people just go along to get along and just accept it as something that we should accept as much as we accept the sun rising in the day and setting at night, Jim. So it's pretty much obvious, isn't it?
Yeah. In spite of the Mueller ongoing investigation, which was totally unnecessary and was therefore a propaganda campaign to benefit the Democrats, just before the midterms, Rasmussen, which has been by far the most reliable of the polls, was showing Trump had a 50% approval rating overall, 40% among blacks, because he's actually doing things that are improving black lives, improving their economic situation, their work, getting more employment and the like. We even have had the Google CEO testified to Congress that the total expenditure Russia had made in influencing the election was, get this, Rick, $4,700. That's about as much as the CEO spends on a brunch for his executives. But meanwhile, I was predicting, because of this high approval rating, that Trump would pick up three or four houses in the Senate and keep the House. I turned out to be wrong because it was a hidden variable. Back to Google again, it turns out their algorithms are now responsible, it appears in retrospect, for having shifted as many as 76 million votes to the Democrats for the midterms, Rick. That is a disgrace.
Yeah, Well, I'll say it is. It's a scandal that, of course, as you said, is not even being discussed in any of the major media except one or two here or there. But it should be a cause for some form of real grilling on the part of Zuckerberg, before Congress. And they won't touch that. They won't touch that with a 10-foot pole. You won't hear it from Adam Schiff, that's for sure. You won't hear it from Pelosi or Schumer. And you won't even hear it from some of the Republican leadership. But it's true, and what we're seeing is a deliberate move, an intentional, willful move to bring about a conflict on a worldwide stage, a war, if you will, between Russia and Iran, and even China, with the forces of the neocons, the hardliners, the Mattises and the John Boltons and so on and so forth, to try to create this scenario where there is perpetual war. You know, we have the 70th anniversary of NATO, and when you ask a simple question, Jim, ask yourself, since the end of World War II, the unnecessary war, what purpose, what real purpose did NATO serve except to accumulate a whole bunch of hundreds of billions of dollars in spent income fighting an enemy that was created and supported and armed by the United States and Russia in World War II? So what has NATO accomplished?
And then it was an instrumentality for the slaughter of the Libyan people, Rick, where Muammar Gaddafi was sharing the wealth, the oil wealth of Libya with the Libyan people, a national health care program, national public education, national warehouses stocked with food. Anyone who was in hunger could go and get all they could possibly ever use. He had a program where if you had a medical malady that couldn't be dealt with in Libya, you'd be flown with a friend or relative anywhere in the world, all expense paid by the government. But he was also introducing the gold dinar, which would have rapidly become the currency of all of Libya. He was undertaking the Great Waterworks Project that would have turned North Africa into a veritable oasis. He ought to have been hailed as a great humanitarian. Instead, Hillary Clinton unleashed Libya on one of the great slaughters of recent times to benefit the French, who were worried about Gaddafi's growing influence and wanted to keep Africa as their own neocolonial preserve. And the Rothschild bankers were upset that the gold dinar would have rapidly become the currency of all of Africa, when the first act by the alleged rebel group in Libya was to found a new central bank, Rick. I knew.
I know.
Very different than we were being told.
Incredible how we can be lied to on such a massive scale, and the suffering, the humanitarian crises that has created is just enormous. And meanwhile, here at home, I can't help but bring it up because Monday, once again, is the Boston Marathon Boston Marathon event, as you know, April 15th, usually every year, which is Patriots Day in Massachusetts. And we know that some 6 years ago, this is the sixth anniversary, we had an incredibly blatant, in my opinion, obvious fake attack, a false flag attack that was carried out by the FBI, was carried out by the Task Force on Terrorism in Boston, the state police, and a host of others that made Boston a staging ground for another drill that leads now us in America to accept this idea of eliminating the Fourth Amendment and the going of house to house. With these barged-in searches and breaking down of doors and militarization of the cities. And that was ultimately the purpose of that drill. So we have an anniversary coming up Monday, and yet how many people, we've had a movie made about it and so forth, how many people today know, Jim, what you and others have written in your book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook and Nobody Died in Boston, that this whole thing was a psyop. It was a fake. It was a fraud. How many? More now, but how many Americans are even willing to accept the reality of their own government and the government of Israel being involved in a fake attack?
Rick, it was so totally phony, almost amateurish. You had the police on bullhorns calling out, "This is a drill! This is a drill!" We have the Boston Globe tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities. Another tweet.
We got a break here, Tim.
In a minute.
I'm right back to you and much more. We'll be talking about one of those soothsayers very shortly, folks. Rick Adams Uncensored.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
We've just been too busy setting up our businesses. We didn't pay enough attention to what was going on around us. We allowed a bunch of thieves and murderers to get control.
And we are back. Jim Fetzer with me today, Professor Fetzer. And, Jim, you were just going over much of the same drill that we have talked about umpteen times on this program, and this is the anniversary on Monday of the Boston Marathon bombing hoax, and many others in this movement have taken advantage of the opportunity of the freedom we have to expose it for what it was, and yet all throughout the corrupt media landscape, all you will hear is there was a real bombing. We had these two brothers, the Zhanaev brothers, who were responsible for setting off these backpack bombs, and killing a number of people, some of whom were not even in existence, Martin Richards and so forth, and we have Heather Abbott, probably one of the most blatant of fraudsters that you've ever seen, somebody who worked for government contractors, military contractors. Apparently, from what I gather, she had an automobile accident a number of years ago in which she did suffer some injuries to her limbs, and that would account for one of her legs having been amputated. So in any event, we have a massive, big time, big scale fraud here committed by the government, and it's promoted as fact so that we the government, will keep you safe. Now, since then, what have we had in the last 6 years, 5 years, since, of course, Sandy hoax? We've had a police state mindset where school children now are entreated at any given moment, unbeknownst to them, to a drill in which terrorists come in, and the police, the SWAT teams, all of the assault weapons carrying military and police come in and try to apprehend the shooter. And this is probably incredible that we think that we have become a police state in our very schools, and yet that's exactly what they have given us in return, a militarization of our communities, a police presence in the schools, and yet they still want to ban assault weapons in the hands of law-abiding citizens. So any comment on that, Jim?
Well, of course, Rick, all of the above. Yes, the brothers were framed. They were actually even photoshopped into the footage there, the marathon. Yeah. They weren't even present. A retired professor of law actually submitted an amicus curiae brief to the First Circuit Court reviewing the conviction, which was totally wrongful. It would have been impossible to prove they did it. So their defense attorney, a woman by the name of Judy Clark, who apparently is being used to throw these cases to benefit the government and cover them up, formally pled Soaker, the younger brother, not guilty, but in her opening statement said they did it. We know it was actually carried out by Kraft International, this private army, that like Blackwater, where they planted these explosives in black nylon backpacks. Turns out when they photoshopped the boys in, they didn't give them the right backpacks. Tamerlan, the older, has a big baggy backpack. It's dark colored, but it doesn't look at all like those that exploded. Zoker, the younger, has a silver-colored backpack, not even remotely. So the Professor John Remington Graham, a retired professor of law who's been a prosecutor, a defense attorney, the whole gambit, submitted an amicus curiae brief where I am the first named of three American citizens to protest what had happened, pointing out the backpacks don't match, and therefore this was an improper conviction. And to his astonishment, as he explained to me, they accepted the brief. They've now accepted yet a second brief. This bodes well that it will be reversed. But as you're observing, Rick, since the first of these shams at Sandy Hook, we've had a whole raft of Boston bombing, San Bernardino. We even have the Craigslist ad for San Bernardino with a good pay, transportation, some speaking roles. I did an hour on San Bernardino with a highly qualified paramedic who was pointing out all the violations of proper medical procedure. The reason so many were wandering around aimlessly as though they had no idea what they were doing was because they had no idea what they were doing. I have also reviewed Parkland, for example, a very nice case where, in fact, the sheriff who was in on it, his name's Scott Israel, kept four deputies out of the building because they didn't know it was a sham. They actually did have someone in SWAT gear firing a SIM gun, which doesn't look like an ordinary weapon, using simulated ammunition, Rick, which is made out of beeswax and laundry detergent, which explains why you had Samantha Fuentes and Maddie Wilford, who were supposed to have been shot with AR-15s, walking around with Band-Aids on their wounds within 48 hours. I mean, these were medical miracles. At Boston, we didn't have any surge of EMTs, no string of ambulances to rush the wounded off to hospitals. In fact, it turns out at Boston, they were using amputee crisis actors, Rick. Imagine using amputee crisis actors. Where the most prominent of them all, who was calling himself Jeff Bauman, was an Army lieutenant who lost his legs in Kandahar during the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan. He was actually given a fake bone prosthesis to wear to make it look more horrifying and put in a wheelchair. And Rick, as they were wheeling him away, the vibrations caused the fake prosthesis to come loose and they had to stop and reattach it.
Yeah, I agree. It's overwhelming that the facts speak for themselves if only people were to see these facts for themselves. The vast unwashed Americans. All right, break time. And we will come right back with a nice time bomb, folks, speaking of all of this. Rick Adams, Uncensored, Professor Jim Fetzer.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. And neither do we.
All right, well, a little bit of humor perhaps out of this, but if it weren't so tragic, folks, it would be genuinely funny. Here we have this W, who was nothing more than a footstool for these monsters and these butchers. It's hard for people to believe. You know, Jim, I always tell people, it's a very simple way if you want to convince people that you had a president, a vice president, secretary of state, perhaps you had a secretary of defense who were well in the loop, who knew exactly what they were doing on 9/11 and were part of this, and they say, how can that be? Well, it is now unquestionably fully established that Pearl Harbor was an inside job, and it was done by all of the people in the Roosevelt administration in key positions, including Mr. Roosevelt himself. And now that is unquestioned fact. Well, if a president could do that all of those years ago to get us into war, why can't a president, vice president, and others be just as corrupt and traitorous? So that is my brief, but I think very adequate explanation of how it's very possible to happen.
Oh, Rick, there's no doubt about 9/11 was an inside job. Dick Cheney appears to have been the executive director from a bunker beneath the White House. We know a great deal about it. I, in fact, just did a debate. It was called Rumble Over the Rubble with a fellow named Steve Dack on, revisionmedia.org. It's actually up now where you can hear it, where we had second Steve, a fellow named Phil Jahan, and I, a civil and structural engineer by the name of Joe Olson, where Jay was somehow unable to make it into the show, but you can find on Revision Media, James Fetzer and Steve Dack discussing 9/11 on April 2nd. It's well worth the time of your audience, Rick, to check it out. I've, of course, done a whole lot on this. I have a video on BitChute. I mean, there you have the audio, the most recent debate about it. Then I have a video on BitChute, 9/11, who is responsible and why, in a book at moonrockbooks.com, America Nuked on 9/11, Compliments of the CIA, the Neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. The whole of 9/11, Rick, as you well understand, was to create a fake pretext for the United States becoming involved in the Middle East to take out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region, and eventually to confront the Persian nation of Iran. It turns out, by the way, that coinciding with the Bibi Netanyahu's re-election, that Israel launched an air attack in Syria. I mean, this is completely outrageous. Syria is a sovereign nation. The master plan to take out seven countries in the next 5 years, which Wesley Clark unveiled at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco in 2007, beginning with Iraq and Libya, ending with Syria and Iran, has not played out only because of the intervention of Russia and Iran on behalf of the Syrian government at the request of the Syrian president, where, Rick, how many Americans to this day do not understand that there's a democracy in Syria? We can't be fighting for freedom and democracy by trying to destroy the government of the democratically elected president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad, any more than we can bring democracy to Venezuela when it too has a democratically elected president. I mean, all this is just verges on absurdity. And get this, it turns out the Democrats attacking the Russians because of Hillary's loss to Trump has led China now to introducing troops into Venezuela, so that the Democrats doing all this domestic politics, trying to obfuscate that Trump had beat her fair and square, shows that we now have 70% of Democrats seeing the Russians as our enemy. All this just so they can win the House in 2020. You should not be attacking major powers for personal or partisan gains, where the tensions they've set in motion are very real and may, in fact, culminate in World War III.
Positively. There's absolutely no questioning that fact. We have this parade, if you will, that's been going on in this country. I've always pointed out, as you are, of war is a racket, you know, as General Smedley Butler said. And the whole end game is to bring about more war, not less, but more war. And if you can get away with it the first time and the people fall for it, why not get away with it time and again? And this is what they have done. You know, I referred to NATO earlier and the racket that had become. And, you know, we had CETO and Southeast Asia and so forth at one point. But all of this was in reality a fake. It was a smokescreen for the fact that all of this global, if you will, this globalist agenda, this interventionist agenda was being developed by the Rothschild banking conglomeration, the multi, you know, trillionaire wealthy and criminals that had, you know, had grown tired of a world in which they could not just simply kill people. And that's what it comes down to. Kill people for the benefit of wealth, of accumulation of power, land resources, and so forth. I mean, these people are satanic. They are diabolical people. And they put in office psychopaths and sociopaths. And you think of Poppy Bush, how he came in and what he accomplished prior to his 4 years as president, you know, what he did was absolutely abominable as head of the CIA. We don't even know half of it, but we have some factual basis of reports of what he did, the murders that were committed, the heroin traffic, the pedophilia, and so on and so forth. When you think about it, how can somebody like that just happen to become president of the United States? And then his son, you know, and Tim Russert from, Meet the Press, I remember, was questioning, you know, we had Kerry on the one hand, Bush on the other, and a host of others, and all these guys were members of these clubs, these secret societies, you know, at Yale. What are the chances that these people would become president? And meanwhile, the American public thinks they're voting for a president. So I could go on and on, but, you know, we're both on the same plane here. We're both saying what's obvious to those who don't want to live a life of delusion. But you know what's wrong? All of this, Jim, is that people in general, they cannot ever reach the state where they lose hope in their government. It's too fearful. It's too big. It's too disappointing. How can we believe these things about our leaders? No, it's always the other guys. It's always the Nazis, and it's always the Arabs, and it's always the blacks, and it's always this group or that group. But never my congressman, never my senator, never my CIA. Well, if they just had enough brain matter, they'd realize that that's exactly what's happened to them. Yes, go ahead, Jim.
Well, I was just going to add, Rick, for those who want to get a better grip on what's going on here, especially with all these efforts to take our guns, remember, there were 19 democides in the 20th century, each of which was preceded by gun confiscation. Well, a democide is a slaughter of a whole civilization, a whole society was taken out. That's why they want our guns, Rick. I'm sorry to say, but all those FEMA camps weren't built just for the pleasure of it. Halliburton made a few extra bucks, yes, but they have them there for us, the American people. If they can take our guns, Rick, we are hapless. We're unable to defend ourselves. And anyone who's out there trying to take our guns ought to be opposed with the greatest vigor. They don't deserve to be in Congress. Take this Representative Eric Solwell, who's one of the most disgraceful exhibits of all in this context. He has talked about taking weapons from Americans by the army at the force of a gunpoint, and then if there are pockets of resistance, using tactical nuclear weapons on Americans. That's Eric Solwell. So he's not only taken an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, which he's violating, he's talking about forcibly confiscating property from American citizens in violation of the due process provisions of the Constitution, which stipulates no one may be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process, and even going so far as to recommend the use of tactical nukes on the American people. That man is a disgrace, Rick. I've never seen anything like it. It's so blatant and outrageous.
Well, you're always a man of many words, Jim, and I certainly am grateful for that piece of added commentary. But you have exemplified the movement and yourself over these past few years that we've been associated with incredibly brilliant research, interview programs that you have done, and all of this, of course, has been totally ignored by the media. And I know the one or two times that you have been quoted by some in the AP, Reuters, of course, you've been misquoted, you've been marginalized, and typically they don't want people to know. It's so in your face. It is just so blatant. Well, the point where now I think it's 22 or less percent of the American public has said they have any confidence in the media. Now, that's a good thing. The bad thing is, and I'm leading into something, Jim, is they will turn invariably to people who have become so big overnight. They have become very large, you know, in terms of obviously ratings and in getting the money, the backers, the sponsors, that they become the voice of alternative media. And alternative media is at the state now where there are a number of enemies within the camp. And there are people who are using alternative media status to bring about fakery, dishonesty, and most of all, to help the enemy within win a case, for instance, on Sandy Hook, Which brings me to the latest on a talk show host that you know of as Alex Jones, and the latest dispositions that we have talked about with regard to what it is Alex Jones has just done with regard to making statements that have to do with Sandy Hook and how he's backpedaling and how he's deliberately, apparently, sabotaging his own case. This is what I wanted you to talk about right from the get-go. Please, Jim, tell us what you see here with Alex Jones's case against him. I pause.
Well, it's clear Alex is taking a fall. He appears to be a Trojan horse because of his prominence. They're going to claim that since he's actually been on all sides of the Sandy Hook issue, Rick. At some points, he was taking an appropriate stand and declaring it had been a hoax. Because no children died at Sandy Hook. I published a book about it in 2015 with 13 contributors, including 6 current or retired PhD professors. We established already the school had been closed, that there were no students there, that it was a FEMA drill to promote gun control. We even have the manual, Rick. One of our contributors, Paul Preston, is himself a school administrator who supervised these active shooter drills. He was troubled by what he saw and reached out to his contacts in the Obama administration Department of Education, all of whom confirmed to him it had been a drill, that no children had died, and it was done to promote gun control. So we've known the facts of the matter. I've made efforts to contact, to reach out to Alex Jones, to share with him the book and other proofs we have since then, including that we've been able to establish that children were who were identified only on the basis of photographs were fictions made up of photographs of older kids when they were younger, Rick. It's outrageous.
And Alex Jones, I'm sure, has welcomed you on his program.
Rick, not once. Not once.
Not a single time in all of these years.
Not once has Alex Jones had me on in Sandy Hook. In fact, he's never had me on InfoWars. Back in 2006, when he organized the conference on 9/11 in Los Angeles, he reached out to me, the founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth, to be the keynote speaker. And many of those who participated came from the organization I had founded, organized, and maintained. But that has been it. He has gone out on a limb here to embarrass himself. And because he's so prominent in the conspiracy community, they're going to claim, too, with Alex Jones' fall, that it shows conspiracy research is not well-founded. They don't even want to mention my name, Rick, because it's so hard to discount a man who's 35 years a university professor with lots of distinctions, honors, and awards, with hundreds of articles, editing journals, publishing books. Would you believe, Rick, I only have 24 academic books, but I have over a dozen conspiracy books bringing this research, you know, as a conspiracy analyst, investigating what really happened for the benefit of the American people and even the community worldwide, where I publish these books by bringing together the best experts you can find them at moonrockbooks.com, and where now, well, the bad guys, in particular this guy Lenny Posner, who I've exposed as a fraud, who's made millions of money off of this pretense, where, in fact, the 26 families who pretended to have lost children or relatives at Sandy Hook have split between $27 and $130 million in donations from sympathetic but gullible Americans. It was all a theft by deception, because none of those children died at Sandy Hook. And, in fact, they therefore split between $1 and $5 million apiece. Pretty good work for playing the role of a crisis family in Sandy Hook, Rick. It's embarrassing and shameful. So they're trying to come after me with a lawsuit that has no merit whatsoever, because I had described a death certificate that Lenny Posner had given to Kelly Watt as a fabrication, when it's obviously a fabrication. It doesn't even have a file number. How can a private citizen like Lenny Posner get a hold of a death certificate that doesn't even have a file number? It's got the wrong estimated time of death at 11 a.m. when the shooting officially took place between 9:30 and 9:40. It has all kinds of typographical abnormalities showing it was put together on different occasions using different typing devices. It has a social security number that's blacked out. And when they served me with a lawsuit back on the 29th of November, Rick, it included the attachment of a state certified death certificate that shows several very odd changes to the state certificate over the one that Lenny sent to Kelly Watt, including that the father, Leonard Posner, had changed the address of the decedent. Get that, Risk? When the last time you heard of a dead person changing their address after they had died? Plus, in the box for Social Security number, it's empty, confirming to me that he never got a Social Security number because he's a fiction made out of photographs of his older stepbrother, Michael Vabner, and we've done it. You can see on some of my blogs, Noah Posner turned into Michael Vabner, who's alive and well and recently graduated from the University of Connecticut at Storrs with a major in economics, Rick. Maybe he's making money off of this, too.
Well, that's speculative, but it wouldn't be unbelievable if he is. You know, the reason I brought this up, obviously, and I led into the show with it, but started off with a whole bunch of other things, is the fact that we have a guy here who, again, right from my scriptural quote, you know, we have people who are false prophets today. We have people who are unfortunately idols to many, still many in the alternative media audiences, who believe that this man, and I don't have to repeat his name anymore, but this particular man is the be-all, end-all of all conspiracies. And not conspiracy theories, but conspiracy fact. Well, the fact is that he fits right into this conspiracy because he, as you said, you know, in laying this this whole groundwork down, is actually taking a fall purposefully. Now, we have to ask ourselves why and how much money possibly is there in it for him. Has he reached the point where it doesn't matter because he's made enough money to be able to retire comfortably if he desires to do so in the aftermath of what may come from this litigation? But nevertheless, I found it interesting that weeks ago when I studied the situation and the attorney that apparently is representing him, Robert Barnes, this guy admits or says, he was quoted as having said that I was in a state of what? Psychosis. I didn't know what I was saying. It was a form of psychosis when I was spreading the Sandy Hook conspiracy theories. So you have to analyze that for yourself, and I have to analyze it for myself. But quite obviously, something stinks here in River City. And we've said it on previous programs that this is one big, massive attempt to discredit you and me and others in this investigative movement, true investigations, by bringing about somebody who accumulated all of this, quote, respectability as an alt-media host all of these years and now is willing to take a fall in order to bring down the truth movement. So is that what it's all about, in your opinion?
Yes, yes. Get this, Rick. It's gone so far as I have reached out to him. I have sent to him links to the book, which you can download the first edition for free. Anyone in your audience can download. Just put in the title, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, in your browser. You can download the interior as a PDF for free. I even entered his case in Texas, Rick, and it added five exhibits where you can see Noah Posner turn into Michael Vabner, as well as a copy of the fake death certificate that Lenny had given to Kelly. They're already in his suit in the files of the court in Texas, but he's never appealed to it.
Yep.
I mean, it's obvious.
He's ignored all of it, yeah.
He's throwing the case, Rick. He's throwing
it. And now, that is what I suspected and you suspected would be the case many, many weeks ago when we were together, and we brought this up as a matter of fits right in to the matrix. There's no question about it. Because all the evidence is out there, and the media cannot tell the truth. The major media are all connected to tell, as we are seeing on a global scale. So what can we do except continue to be a voice crying out in the wilderness, and those who will believe and think cranially, function logically and mentally, will understand that this is the truth. But in the end, the real question is what you alluded to earlier. If a martial law scenario is being planned now, once the economic system collapses, then we need to ask ourselves, are we willing to trust the very government, the that perpetrates these frauds with possession of our arms and keeping us safe in detention camps, in FEMA camps? Is that what we as Americans will tolerate on American soil? And I don't know. Quite frankly, I begin to wonder. I see complacency on the part of many people who are willing to have what? Security instead of freedom. Didn't one of our founding fathers once say that he was willing to trade freedom for security? Doesn't deserve either one.
yes, absolutely correct. And Rick, we have to, this is coming down to the crunch. We have to stand up as American citizens to preserve our rights under the Constitution. Well, there's a movement now for sanctuary, Second Amendment sanctuary cities, counties, and states. We actually have three states, Alaska, Oregon, and Kansas, that have declared themselves to be Second Amendment sanctuary states. You don't even need a permit to carry concealed weapons in those states. Other cities and counties are following their lead. This is a good thing. Support Second Amendment sanctuary in your city, in your county, in your state. This is the only way we as a people are going to survive with our freedom intact and not spend the rest of our lives, which will be short and miserable, in those FEMA camps.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I'm seeing widespread resistance across even liberal, if you will, states like my own in New England, where people are not going to just sit down and play dead. They're not going to just say, well, okay, if there's an assault ban, we'll just hand in our guns. And they do not want to do that because they're not criminals. The criminals are those who are violating the Constitution of our states, which specifically states and does not distinguish between firearms. It says, the right of the people shall not be infringed. That is to bear and keep arms, both. That's in Article 1, Section 22 of my state's constitution in Rhode Island, and yet these politicians are proposing laws that are in direct violation of that amendment. It's like tearing up the Constitution, which is, W. Bush once said, I think it was attributed to him, the Constitution is just another GD piece of paper. You know, this is how many of them, thankfully not all, but many of them view the Constitution. It's a meaningless document, and yet they take an oath to uphold it. And when they do that, and when they continue to increase government control over us and people get restless about it, that is the very time when you need those weapons, Jim. So this is what we're up against. It's obvious history repeating itself, isn't it?
Rick, it may be the most memorable thing I've ever said. When they come for our guns, the time has come to use them. Do not allow your weapons to be confiscated from you. Do not allow that to happen. You're giving up your life. You're giving up your future. You're giving up your children. You're giving up everything you've ever cared about with regard to the United States. We cannot allow this to happen.
Indeed, we cannot. I think we're up against the hour break. I want you to stay until Art comes on later. We have about another 20, 25 minutes or so, and I want to get into something, an event, which another false flag, that took place between the last time we talked and today, and that was the New Zealand massacre that purportedly took place. So stay on the line, Jim. I want to get into that, how fake that was, how obviously structured and scripted that whole thing has become, along with the Parkland shoot, along with the Tree of Life Synagogue shoot, and so on. This is a pattern that clearly has been laid out for us, folks. So let's take a break here in just a moment. And if you'd like to get on the lines now, you may, by dialing in 1-800-313-9443, the toll-free number. And we'll be most happy to take your call on the program. Well, let's take a break, and we shall return. Stay where you are, Jim Fetzer.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.